Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Terrible Towel Tantrum, presented by the Red Light Sports Network, sponsored by the Million Dollar Ramble, which is the domestic violence awareness cause that Troy and Evan will be embarking on in 2015, starting with opening day of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and consisting of 1 year where we raise awareness for domestic violence awareness across the United States, helping out 50 local shelters. The ultimate goal of the Red Light Sports Network is to raise $1 million for domestic violence awareness. I am your co-host, Troy Otradovic, joined with Rudy Reyes out on the West Coast. And Rudy, tonight we have a special caller, which will be great. The newest Steeler will be calling in tonight, from what I heard, so that will be wonderful. But Rudy, how are things going out in California today?
Doing excellent. Unseasonably warm weather. Experiencing some pretty summer, almost summer-like conditions out here in the West Coast area. Speaking of West Coast area, Mr. Darby was picked up by the Chargers. He's going to be signed as a potential linebacker. I mean, he's played various positions. He comes out of Arizona State, very solid player. He had a very high pick in this in the 2014 draft, spent a year with San Diego, and just waiting for him to call in so that way we can talk to him a little bit more. So otherwise, it's going great. How's everything going out there?
Well, I mean, for me personally, things are great, but in Western PA, it's not a good time. I mean, it was a big loss on Sunday. The Ravens came into town, of course. I don't think we need to rehash everything that went on, but we'll talk about the game and some of the things. I put it in the preview a little bit, and you know, look forward to what they need to do in the off season. You know, overall, you know, I'll give my thoughts on the season, and I'll go back to my original episode of the Terrible Towel Tantrum when I talked about what I thought the expectations were going to be for this team. And honestly, offensively, I thought they had a great year, and it obviously exceeded what I thought they could do offensively with the talent they had. I mean, I thought they'd be good. I thought they'd have to outscore opponents to win games. But statistically, the numbers they put up were just amazing. They were record-breaking this year. And so you have to be quite happy about that. I mean, there were some breaks in the game. I don't want to hear that, well, you know, Le'Veon Bell, we would have won the game. We would have won the game. You know what? The game, the outcome of the game may have changed, but you don't say just because Bell wasn't in the game that they lost the game. Because defensively, I saw some breakdowns. But before we get into that, buddy, I do want, you know, I'll let you know. I think Mr. Darby had tried to call in. I saw it in the queue. Then he dropped out. So if you want to shoot him another text, let him know to call in. Press 1. I'll let him in. But I did see a caller in the queue. They dropped out before I could let him on the air. But while you're sending him a text, I will just give the fans a recap of what happened, and then I'll switch it back over to you. But, of course, on Saturday, Ravens, third meeting this year with the Steelers, and in Heinz Field, thought that this would be a great opportunity. The Steelers, one thing they lacked to do after the first drive is to stay with the run. I know recently signed Ben Tate, trotted out on the field, got some carries, didn't break anything huge, but got a couple positive gains. And I was sitting there thinking, okay, here they go. They're going to try to establish the run. This is good. They'll be able to control the clock, and they'll be able to really control the line of scrimmage to be able to do a lot of things in the offensive game plan. But at that time, all of a sudden, then they got away from it later in the game. So with that said, Rudy, I think Mr. Darby's on the phone, so I'm going to let him in the studio. Good evening.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Troy, is this Mr. Darby?
Yes, sir. This is him.
Hey, Mr. Darby. This is Troy Otradovic. I'm the co-host of the Terrible Towel Tantrum. I'm joined with Rudy Reyes, a gentleman that you know personally. So, Rudy, say hello.
Alden, welcome to Steeler Nation.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to Steeler Nation, Alden. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Me and you had spoken the year previous prior to San Diego picking you up, and we had a pretty extensive conversation. You came out of Arizona State as a safety. San Diego drafted you. Tell us a little bit about your skill set, and basically just give us a rundown as to what we would expect to see in this upcoming year from you.
One of the main things you'll expect to see from me is a leader on and off the field. You know, somebody that's going to be heavily involved in the community, a great teammate, respectable and respected. And that's just speaking as far as my character off the field and on the field as well. On the field, as far as gameplay, you're going to see somebody that's out there communicating and just flying around, making plays. And one thing that I specialize in is getting that ball, getting that football. And so that's one of the things, you know, Steelers fans can look forward to is, you know, they call me Pick Six Darb. So I got to live up to the name, right?
Absolutely. And you did that in Arizona. And it's so good to know that you're bringing your leadership. I had a chance to watch you on a lot of highlight reels coming out of Arizona State. A lot of things have changed. Tell us a little bit about your experience while you're in San Diego.
Oh man, it was a great experience. You know, growing up as a child, you know, San Diego was my favorite team growing up. And just walking into that locker room, at first just seeing Antonio Gates and Eric Weddle. And I can just remember, being in college and in high school and guys asked me, who do you play like? And I said, Eric Weddle. And to finally be able to, sit side by side with this guy, it was like a dream come true. And so just making it to the NFL, it's not enough and it's not just making it isn't what I want to do, but it was a huge accomplishment for myself because, we all got dreams and aspirations as a kid to be able to put on an NFL uniform, and I got that opportunity and still do. So, it was a great experience and got all the spider webs and kinks off me. And so coming into this new program with the Steelers, I learned a lot from the Charger experience and this whole year off of football. It's just, just a lot of things that are changed. And so coming into playing with Pittsburgh, I'm just a lot smarter, and I grew a lot in this past year.
Coming to Pittsburgh and, being in the AFC and knowing the Steelers well, and one of the things that national media and I'm out here in Steeler Nation, one of the big things, they talk about the secondary. As a defensive back, I want to get your perspective. We talk about it on our show. I host a couple of shows, and we talk NFL football. But as a cornerback, how important is it for your defensive line to get consistent pressure on a quarterback when you're back there as a defensive back? How important is that for you, knowing that your defensive line is consistently pressuring the quarterback? How does that help you as a cornerback?
Oh, it helps me a lot. It makes my job so much easier. You always hear about how the quarterbacks, always taking the O-linemen out for steak dinners. I'm kind of that type of safety that I want to take my front seven out for dinner, because without those guys, I'm nothing. Without them getting pressure, because we only can cover for so long. No matter how good we are, no matter how lockdown defense we got, man, we only can cover for so long. So if I got my front seven working as hard for me as I'm in the back end working for them, it makes my job so much easier. Even if they don't get the sack on the quarterback, just putting that pressure, because I played middle quarterback in high school, so I kind of know what it feels like to be in that pocket, not in the NFL pocket, but the feeling is kind of similar. And so just having that pressure on you as a quarterback, it'll get you to throw some bad passes. And, bad passes give us defensive backs time to recover and go get a chance to intercept the ball, because wide receivers and quarterbacks, every route is based on timing. And if that timing is altered a little bit, that gives us as a defensive back to really react and intercept the ball, break it up, or just make the play.
Awesome. Rudy, I'll turn it over to you, bud.
Well, as we head into this upcoming season, there's a lot of changes. I don't know exactly what those changes are going to be, and I know that changes seems to be a part of your mantra, Alden. So I'm going to ask you, You're flying into a cold weather place, unlike any place you've ever been to before. How do you feel that the weather may either handicap you, or how do you feel will actually work to your advantage as you head into hopefully a playoff-type season where you can be the difference maker? How do you think you'll be able to adapt to that?
Well, at the end of the day, no matter how cold it is, how warm it is, it's football, you know, and if it's a little colder, now I guess I just got to warm up, you know, for an extra 5 minutes, you know. So if that's what I got to do, then that's what I got to do. But, you know, I learned something in college from my DB coach, and it's kind of what I live by. It's called red light, green light. Whatever I can't control, I like to put that in the red light category. And whatever I can control, like my attitude, effort, character, accountability, things like that, I put that in the green light. You know, I can't control the refs. I can't control the weather. I can't control the fans. So I leave all of that in the red light category. And the moment I start to think about what's in the red light category, it knocks off my focus. You know, even if I just say, oh, it's cold out here, my mind, it just messes with my mind, and my mind is what controls my body, and it'll get me thinking about it. So I just leave that in the red light. I mean, however cold it is, it really doesn't matter to me. I'm just ready to play football, and I'm just blessed and appreciative to have that opportunity to play, whether it's in 0 to -5 below degree weather. I'm just happy to have that opportunity to be able to showcase my talent and skills.
Well, I'll tell you what, Alvin, Steeler Nation is happy to have you, especially with the uncertainty of, Troy Polamalu, one of the great safeties to play. A lot of veterans on the Steeler defense, a lot of question marks. I mean, it's a lot of talk going on, you know, how management is going to move forward. When you look at coming into this situation, Alden, to be able to come in and contribute to a franchise like Pittsburgh, what made you decide, you know, being on the Chargers practice squad, like you said, grew up, that's your favorite team, season's done, you have an opportunity in the business to further your career. What was intriguing about being able to come and be part of Steeler Nation for you?
I just kind of feel like it was meant to be. You know, 2014 was pretty tough on me. And coming into the new year, like, I had a lot of teams calling me and, hey, we want to bring you in for a workout. We want to do this. We want to do that. But that's all they were just phone calls. You know, and I've never spoken to Pittsburgh, directly. I've never heard anything from Pittsburgh, even going dating back to last year and around the draft time. And so, you know, just to get that phone call from them and just to hear the certainty in them, just to say, we want you to come out here for a workout, you know, check in 20 minutes, your flight information we booked. Just to have that certainty is like, okay, they're about business, and they really like me, you know. And so that just made me happy. And it happened all in 2015. And the tables have been starting to turn my way in 2015. So it was like it was just a sign from God. You know, he was just, you know, and I'm big on faith. And, you know, one thing is for sure, God, if you're not ready for it, he's not going to bring you into it, you know. And so I guess he was just showing me that I just needed time to mature and get my mind right and, you know, and just sit back, you know, strengthen up my faith. And I did that. I did those things. And now he just flooded me with blessings. And so it's a blessing just to be a part of this organization. I'm gonna make the most out of my opportunity and just attack every day and leave no doubt.
Right. Well, you know, you definitely left no doubt in the Steelers organization that looked at you in the way that I actually looked at you. When we interviewed Alden, it was about, I'm hungry, I just want to play. I don't care who it's for. It doesn't matter. I'm out of college, I just want to play. It's not about the money. It's about the passion, the desire, the work ethic, and you have all of that going for you. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Steelers decided to turn those ties over to you. And as you were sitting on the couch watching this game unfold between the Steelers and Ravens, based on the experiences that you had in San Diego, what do you believe could be your ultimate game-winning decision in that last defensive setting in the secondary for the Steelers?
Meaning, while I was watching the game, did I think of anything that I possibly could have done differently?
Absolutely.
not too sure, honestly. You know, it's kind of hard to say because me not knowing exactly what their schemes were or what they were doing, you know, I kind of look back at my college games and I'm like, man, why did my coach send that Sam linebacker on a blitz? He shouldn't have did that. I would have did this differently. It's kind of hard for me to say just because I don't know exactly what their scheme is. And, you know, a lot of people watch TV and they'll be like, oh, the corner got beat. But really, you know, watching at home, they don't know that the safety's supposed to be over top. You know, so it's kind of hard for me to kind of step in that realm and say what I would have done differently just because I don't know the scheme and what they were doing. And, I mean, I think it was a great game. I think it was a great game. You know, it was. I mean, it's a playoff game. You know, no matter what the team's record is or who beat who in the past, you know, everybody's going to come to play. And I really believe that the Steelers came. You know, they came ready to play. And I mean, sometimes the ball just doesn't fall in your court.
Yeah, actually, when they blocked that punt, I was hoping that it would have stayed in play. Had it stayed in play, that probably would have had a totally different outcome on the game. I think the safety helped the Ravens because it didn't give the Steelers the 7 points. Alden, I wanted to get your thoughts on coming to play probably, I mean, people can argue, one of the greatest defensive minds in the game in Dick LeBeau. You know, how do you feel about being able to come in and learn from Dick LeBeau, you know, a Hall of Famer and a guy that's been in the league longer than my dad's been alive, I think. But this guy is a great defensive mind. You get to, you know, you get to come in, you get to learn from Dick LeBeau. How does that make you feel?
I'll put it to you like this. You know, I'm all ears and my mouth is shut. my ear wide open. My ears are wide open. I got 3 pens in my hand and my mouth is shut. I can't even put it to words how exciting. I can't even put it to words how exciting and just a great opportunity that is. And you know, it's just exciting. You know, I can't even find the words. All I know is my mouth is shut and my ears are open.
That's awesome. Hey Rudy, I'm gonna drop in another question before I let you have another question about that.
Please do.
Hey Alden, in a Dick LeBeau system that has all these exotic type blitzes, and I will preface this because, you know, you and I haven't had a chance to talk. I'm originally from Green Bay, yes, Packer fan, but I live in Pittsburgh, so I host a terrible towel tantrum. But a lot of exotic blitzes and a lot of safety plays, and I've been in Pittsburgh for 10 years and accustomed to safeties being up near the line. Is that your game? I mean, is that something that you really thrive on, to be able to get in the backfield, knock the quarterback around a little bit, hit a running back for a big loss? Is that your type of game, or would you like to cover more? You know, what would you prefer?
I like to make plays, and I've done it all. I've played corner, I've played the nickel, I've played the deep middle safety, I've even played linebacker and in the box, you know, off blitzes. So I'm honestly comfortable, you know, with all of it, and I just like to make plays. If whichever way I can make a play, I'm for it. You know, coach tells me to go blitz up to A gap on the goal line, I'm gonna give him 110%. You know, I just like to make plays, and if the coaches can find a way to put me in position to make a play, or if that's what my position calls for, to be on the line, to be in the box, then I'm gonna do it to my best ability and give it all I got, and not complain about it. You know, I'll do whatever's asked of me, I'll do it.
You know,
that's awesome.
That's completely admirable. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't expect anything less from you, to be honest. I mean, based on your mindset, I mean, you were raised in Long Beach, California. You didn't really have a lot going on for yourself. You created the opportunities and was able to see those doors as they were being opened because you created those doors to be open, along with your faith also helped you, you know, go past all the naysayers. One of your strengths, and I've noticed this on the field of play while you're at ASU, you're very versatile. Your ability to be aware, your positions at safety, corner, and nickel are just, bar none, one of the most dynamic strengths to you as a player. As a person, that also speaks to your character. Those two run together for you. So as we head into the draft, as we head into the next, you know, the oncoming football season, leadership is going to be really key. Troy Polamalu may not have another year left, or this could have been his final year. That's still up in the air. With the versatility that he brings, and based on what I've seen you from playing at ASU as well as in San Diego, that you have that character, that strength, that versatility, that awareness in that secondary that just makes you very lethal as far as a football IQ standpoint. I truly believe you're going to be an outstanding piece to the Steelers secondary. And to be honest with you, I do see a lot of pick sixes coming your way. You get a position, you're set.
Thank you. I appreciate that a lot.
Absolutely. Is there anything that any of the listeners out there you'd like them to know more about you? Tell us how they can find you.
Well, you guys can find me on the only social media that I have is Twitter. You guys can find me on Twitter. My handle is PIC, P-I-C, the number 6, DARB, D-A-R-B. Or you can just type in my name, Alden Darby, and it'll pop up. Only tweet good things, positive things, pick me up or line. A lot about faith, so I'll be a positive follow for you guys to follow on there. And I follow everybody back. You ask me to follow you back, I'll follow you back without a problem. And no, just a little about myself. I'm an extremely hard worker, and that kind of reflects on my character and why I don't like to use the word leader, because you know I can't really put a title to something that's just me. You know, it's just I call it being out in Darby. You know, I can't call it being a leader. I just call it being out in Darby, whether you like it or not. But you know, if I have to put it in the right category, it'll be called a leader. And it just comes from me being hard working. I like to work extremely hard, and I know how good somebody can be or a team can be if they all are just working on one accord. You know, and I know I'm going to push myself extremely hard. You know, I told somebody today, yeah, I had a workout today from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. They said, "Man, were you at school?" I said, "No, I was working out. You know, three workouts minimum is what I do a day. You know." That's just what I like to do. I just know if you work hard at anything, whether it's bagging groceries, if you're doing it to your best ability and you're going hard at it, you'll be the best. And so without hard work, you have nothing. So I just know what it takes to win. And it's, I mean, it's pretty simple. Everybody knows what it takes to win. It's pretty simple. Work hard, and you'll accomplish a lot of things you want to accomplish. So if I can lead guys in the right direction and working hard and doing that, I know we're giving ourselves a chance. So that's what you guys are getting out of me. That's a great guy. That's accountable, respectable, respected, great character, great in the community. You know, I'm from California, but I'll be heavily involved in the community out there in Pittsburgh. And just a friendly, lovable guy.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, Alden, Rudy gave me short notice that you're coming on the show, so I had very limited time, but when I went on to your timeline, and the Red Light Sports Network is following you already, just so you know. But I did see your belief in faith. On the show that I host, you know, I talk about it at times. I went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, and I think you put it, you know, the way it is. You believe in the faith, and you work hard, and you do those things, and that builds your character. And, you know, one thing, and I know every NFL team will have a situation where there's an off-the-field incident, but when you look at, you know, the really storied franchises like the Green Bay Packers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and, you know, even throw the Chargers in there, when you're at the level you're at, Alden, it comes down to the character-type guys. And, you know, from what I saw in a limited time on your timeline is that's what you have. And those are the type of players that, you know, good things will happen because you work hard. And we're excited to see you on the field. And I'll tell you what, Alden, I'm not sure if you heard in the pregame, the Red Light Sports Network is actually embarking on a domestic awareness campaign in 2015. So don't be surprised if I shoot you a tweet and see if you want to be involved when we do our shows here in Pittsburgh and have you actually come in person and be live to talk. But it's part of our mission, too, here on the Red Light Sports Network is to give back to the communities in which our listeners reside. So, you know, I liked seeing that on the timeline when Rudy told me you're going to be a guest. You know, it was awesome. You know, I look forward to having your skill set not only on the field but in Pittsburgh. You know, it's always great when people can give back to the community. So I appreciate you coming on the show tonight, bud.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate you guys having me.
Oh, of course, Alden. You know, last but not least, we interviewed before last year's draft, and as I told many guests that I interviewed, I said I would love to see you in black and gold. There was only one player that the Steelers drafted that I had stated was going to be picked, and that was Josh Morrow. Not one person had him on their list. Again, another pack, at least it was a Pac-10, in a Stanford team at defensive end. And then when me and you had our interview, it was, you know, after looking at everything that I knew about you, talked to you before the interview, during the interview, I looked at all your YouTube stuff, all your highlights, everything was there. You were a perfect fit, and I called it. I'm just so glad that the Steelers decided to look into you themselves and see the kind of person that not only you have represented, but that you'll continue to represent on and off the field. So thank you for your time. I appreciate it. And get something warm on, because Pittsburgh is cold and snowy right now.
Yeah, all I got is two jackets to my name, so I'm gonna have to get some more. I'm a spoiled Cali boy.
Because I'll tell you what, today was not a good day, Alden. There was a two-hour school delay. Getting into Pittsburgh, if you took the parkway, was about an hour delay. The roads were terrible. Not to scare you away from Southern California to Pittsburgh.
Here. Man, I'm ready.
So
I'm
you
ready.
Might want to get, you know, some hats and gloves also, because, yeah, it's a cold time of the year. When are you actually moving out here, bud?
In March.
Oh, well, by that time, it should be at least into the 40s.
Hopefully it's enough snow to make a snowman. I want to make a snowman.
And the snow may be melted by then.
Oh, well, you know what? You know, Alden, me and you can go into the local mountains over here in California and maybe find some snow.
Maybe.
Build a snowman there.
Oh, yeah, by March you should be okay, bud. But I'll tell you what, we look forward to following you on Twitter, and we definitely look forward to seeing you on the practice field, bud, and then next year in the season making plays. And like your Twitter handle says, a couple pick sixes will be nice for Steeler Nation next year.
I'll make it happen.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Alden. You take care, and we will see you on the field.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Anytime, I'm available.
Sounds good, buddy.
Thanks,
have a great day.
You
take
too.
Care. Thank you.
All right, Rudy, the newest Steeler, Alden Darby, and much needed. And so, you know, we'll kind of go into it right there. A secondary signing, which is definitely necessary, especially with, you know, the veterans in the backfield, not knowing Troy Polamalu, Ike Taylor, possibly last time we saw him in Heinz Field on Saturday. Those are two guys that may not be on the roster next year. Definitely secondary help in a unit. There's a question I asked about getting consistent pressure. We talked about it last week, Rudy, and I said, yeah, I'm not sure if it was on a terrible towel tantrum or on the Red Light Sports Ramble when I was talking. I sometimes get the shows mixed up. I apologize. But I had said the Steelers got to bring the game. They got to flip the coin, and the team that pressures the quarterback has to show up. And unfortunately, Saturday, Rudy, they didn't get consistent pressure on Joe Flacco. And when Joe Flacco doesn't have any pressure, he's able to not make mistakes. And it's like Alden was saying, you get him off timing, and that helps the cornerback so much because they can only cover for so long. And there was no pressure Saturday. And I'm not sure if, you know, what cornerbacks were out there that sometimes the time that Flacco had and them, the Ravens establishing the running game, even though statistically the numbers weren't great, they established a line of scrimmage, especially on that play-action pass when they ran to the left, Flacco rolled to the right and caught that play-action pass or threw the play-action pass. But secondary, definitely the Steelers need to upgrade, and I think bringing in Alden Darby is a good start, you know. He's going to have a great chance to compete next year, not knowing what's going to go on in the secondary. So what are your thoughts there, bud? You think We've seen the last of Troy Polamalu and Ike Taylor.
You know, I would hate to count out Troy Polamalu, to be honest with you. Will Allen was playing so well, so effectively. That secondary had a very different look with Will Allen in that mix. Troy Polamalu is always doing too much because he recognizes that there isn't enough in the backfield, in the secondary backfield that allows him to play his specific role, to do what he's got to do. So I think that instinctively, you know, to call it what it is, I think Troy Polamalu has seen the last days as a Pittsburgh Steeler and maybe even retire. I don't foresee him becoming any type of secondary coach. Not to say he wouldn't make a good one, but at least the way that I've seen it, the way that I've seen the season roll out, you know, defensively staying with the defense, they didn't have any pressure on him. The right personnel groupings weren't out there. McCullers was relatively non-existent. You had almost no pass rush at all. He had time to pick that secondary apart clean. I had a questionable play in regards to some possible that pass interference call on Antoine Blake. He never went back to play on the ball. And to be honest with you, he never looked back to try to cause any interference. And it was so that, I mean, yeah, he had a hand on him or an arm or some part of it on his body, but even still was not enough to warrant calling pass interference on that particular play. So in that regard, the ref didn't help, but, you know, it is what it is. Again, because that there was no pass rush, that allowed Flacco to pick that secondary clean apart, and they had no answer for it. Offensively, it was a stalemate. You go to Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown was trying to do way too much. They became one-dimensional. They didn't utilize Ben Tate the way that they should have. Dre Archer were practically ineffective. It's as if they lost their complete identity. Once Le'Veon Bell what was determined to be out. No, you know what? Ben Tate, he did what he was called to do. Was he utilized the way that he should have? No, he wasn't. Dre Archer? No, not necessarily. I don't think they plan on incorporating him a whole lot. Josh Harris? Practically ineffective also. That defense of the Ravens were all over that O-line. Sacked Ben multiple times. I mean, it was as if they didn't even show up for the game because Le'Veon Bell was not starting. Le'Veon Bell wouldn't have made that much of a difference in that game offensively because that defense was so stiff. They showed up as a 20-point swing the last time we played, and the game before that was a 20-point swing, and the Ravens won. So we were at 50%. Joe Flacco just completely decimated the secondary, and if it wasn't for the last minute efforts, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger has had a fantastic year. Nothing to take away from what he's done. Nothing at all whatsoever. Did he make a couple of bad moves in that game? Yeah, all quarterbacks do, even the great quarterbacks, and he's one of them. I don't consider Peyton Manning a great quarterback on paper. Yeah, perhaps. Joe Flacco, as Mr. Goodpasser wanted to indicate, he had no interceptions in that game. None. Why? Because there was no pressure applied to him. You throw him off completely the minute you apply pressure on Joe Flacco, inside or even outside the pocket. He's not a great runner anyway. So if you apply that kind of pressure on him, he's going to make errant throws or take sacks. That's just the way he is. And then furthermore, you have John Harbaugh calling him this, you know, I'll take Joe Flacco any day on twice on Sunday. Really? A one-time Super Bowl winning quarterback over a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback who knows how to do much more outside the pocket, who's proven to play inside of the pocket as well when need to with the backfield that he did have? I mean, Martavis Bryant offensively did fantastic. But again, all one-dimensional, all offense with passes, short stints here, short stint, you know, to the right, little bubble screens and bubble passes and stuff like that. That's not going to get it done. They somehow just lost their identity, and I hope the secondary can revamp, restructure, reconvene, and Alvin Darby will help bring some solidity to that backfield with his presence alone, not only on the football IQ, but in the personal awareness of being a leader, being aware, understanding. what he needs to do and what his role is to help other people be better.
That you made, Rudy, and I made this yesterday when we did our NFL Wild Card Weekend recap on the Red Light Sports Ramble. If anybody wants to listen, go to the redlightsportsnetwork.com and take a listen to the archive. A common theme in all the teams that lost is they got away from the run. Steelers, of course. And like I said early in the show, I thought that they were actually on the right idea in that first drive, running Ben Tate. And I've said this a million times, even previewing the Packers. And I go back to against the Lions in week 17, very stingy run defense. I don't care if you would have ran Eddie Lacy for 1 yard gain, 2 yard gain, 1 yard gain, no yards, negative two. You have to stick with the run to keep the defense off balance. Once you totally get away from it, they pin their ears back, they put pressure on the quarterback, and that's exactly what happened. I look at this game, and in that first drive, they weren't going to go down. They weren't going to rush for 120 yards against the Ravens. But if they would have ran, and do you remember the number that I put out for you last week, Rudy, what I thought would be considered a victory for the Steelers with Josh Harris? Do you remember how many yards I said?
What, you said, what was it, like,
50. 50 okay. Yards would have been a win for them, but they got away from it. But the common theme, Rudy, this weekend, the Bengals got away from Jeremy Hill. They ran him 7 times in the first half, got out of their game plan, put the ball in Andy Dalton's hand. Now, I'm going to switch this over. You can put the ball in Ben's hand to win a game. The problem is when you don't have any resemblance of a run, the defense can then key on the quarterback, which they did. I mean, there was a point they literally knocked Ben out of the game. He had to go do the concussion protocol because they were getting pressure. They knew it was coming. You go back, I don't want to say the Lions-Cowboys. That's a totally different game. But when you look at the Cardinals, no resemblance of a running game, and there's no way Lindley was going to go in there and beat the Panthers. But you look at the three teams that lost. Outside of the Lions, they got away from the game plan. And I had said it earlier, would Bell have made a difference? Of course he would have. He's a great player. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the 22 guys that were playing, I know we got other packages, but 11 on defense, 11 on offense. Defensively, that's where I see the most changes needed. I mean, the offensive line, as much as people want to talk about it, I still think that line is getting better. They got better as the year went on. Can they get more depth? Yes. Can they improve it? Yes. I don't think that's high priority, though, as much as it is defensively to get a consistent pass rush. Now, I like Tuitt. I think he developed, and I think he'll be a guy that's going to be a good guy up front. But you're talking about question marks with Kiesel. Question marks with Harrison. They've really got to figure out what they're going to do defensively, who they're going to bring in, who they're going to draft. They need to get a consistent pass rush. Alden mentioned it perfect, Rudy. The guys don't need to sack the quarterback. They just need to pressure him. Evan and I on the Ramble, Rudy, all the time talk about collapsing the pocket. The key to victory in a lot of games, just collapse the pocket and make the quarterback get out of his comfort zone. There are very few quarterbacks in this league that can maneuver when you collapse the pocket up the middle. Very few in the league that can do it. And that's why it's so important. And the Steelers got to address that issue. They've got to figure out a way to get a push up the middle, to get a consistent pass rush, to throw these quarterbacks off. Because, again, you mentioned it, I mentioned it, no pressure on Joe Flacco. I think they recorded one sack, but he was not under duress at all during that game. And that was the difference in that game. You let Joe Flacco sit back there and survey the field. Of course he's going to pick you apart. Of course he's not going to throw an interception because he's in a comfort zone. I mean, honestly, you also look at, you throw other quarterbacks in there that are in the league. Lindley, if he isn't pressured, he's an NFL quarterback. He's going to make throws, but he was pressured. But mm-hmm. you look at these quarterbacks, and if you don't get the pressure, it's going to be a long day for the cornerbacks. And that's why I said it. It wouldn't have mattered who was cornerback on Saturday. You could have had Deion Sanders out there. When you have no pressure, you know, Alden said it best. You can only cover for so long. And I think that was the biggest problem Saturday. I don't want to hear that it was because Le'Veon Bell was hurt. I don't, because defensively they could have done better to win that game. So that's my thought, buddy. Anything else to add before we end the show today?
You know, to be honest with you, there's a lot of changes that are going to besiege the Steelers' defensive line. It's going to be a relatively changed up look. Shazier stays. Very intelligent player. He's just had some injuries. No, he's not a bust. Will you see Dre Archer again? Maybe. There's a pretty decent likelihood of that. James Harrison may get one more year, one more opportunity to do something that he loves to do. He enjoys it. And he enjoys it very much so, especially against certain quarterbacks in the NFL. I do see some defensive needs that have to be addressed. Will Mike Mitchell be there? I don't know. It's possible. I like his play to a degree. As far as tackling things of that nature, they're okay. Is he very physical? Absolutely, something that we have spoken to about him before. Troy Polamalu could have very well played his last game. Will Allen obviously not going anywhere. What to do with Cortez Allen? That's a whole nother story. That in itself is going to require a serious microscope. What do? You trade them like you did to Woodley to the Oakland Raiders and get that money back to be used for later purposes or for draft needs or even more free agent acquisitions. A lot of changes, a lot more questions than answers, at least at this point, Steeler Nation. Right now, more than likely, I would say that Ike Taylor is done. I don't foresee him coming back to play. Yes, he's a prodigal son of Art Rooney. I just don't foresee him coming back and being anywhere near as effective in the backfield. If you do keep Troy Polamalu, you're going to have to work on those numbers to find out where he is on the cap, what's going to happen in that secondary with people like, Jason Worlds, and he's seen his last days. You can go and ask the same question of Cam Thomas. You have Marcus Gilbert, who has some question marks on his cap. Lance Moore, Brett Kiesel. What's it do with Kies? Don't know. Will the beard be back? I'm not sure. Troy Polamalu's guaranteed pay at $6 million. Cortez, 5.6. Marcus, 5. Mike Mitchell, 4. Cam, 2. Lance, 1.5. Brett Kiesel, 1.5. So these could be casualties to bring in newer, fresher, more aware, dynamic players. I just don't see the Steelers keeping Lance Moore. I'd say release Thomas, release Mitchell. I would say either work Marcus out some type of deal, let him stay. I do the same thing with Cortez. If he doesn't want to budge, I'd say trade him off as well. Troy Polamalu, he's going to want to rework, at least relive that conversation. I don't know about money to keeping him in play. Brett Kiesel may have seen one more year as a supplemental to Stephon Tuitt. I don't know. A lot more questions than answers at this point, Steeler Nation, but we will find out.
Yeah, a lot of questions, and we'll get a little more in depth next Tuesday when we get back at it. People have asked me, is there still a terrible tumble tantrum? The season's over. Yes, NFL football is now a 12-month out of the year deal, Rudy. So the show's not going anywhere. Rudy and I will be back every Tuesday. Depending on schedules, 11:30 Eastern, midnight Eastern, somewhere in that realm. But next Tuesday we'll definitely sit down. We'll talk further about defensively, what they're looking at. Maybe even look into the draft a little bit. I know it's early, but I want to take a look at where do they need to focus next year, because I had mentioned it offensively. They got a lot of great pieces there. They got Ben Brown, Bryant, Bell. offensive line to me, like I said, Rudy, people